Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and this week's episode is not sponsored by Raid Shadow Legends or Fortnite. And with me, I have...
Are we still alive? What year is it? Is the Rock president yet? No, he's still... Oh, damn it. Damn you, giant meteor. You live on a sack of lies.
And
we did it again. A bunch of shit happened when we were gone.
Yeah. This is what happens when you're kind of locked into something like months in advance. Maybe next time things will pan out better on my end. So yeah, we got a lot on the plate here. Like, last I counted, 27 songs and 3 news topics.
Oh, fuck.
It's just everything in every nook and canny just had to drop.
And guess what's happening on Sunday?
Is that even still happening? Because, like, okay, so with the VMAs, I know, like, they're no longer doing it at the original location. And 2 of the performers had to drop, which is weird because I'm pretty sure I saw an advertisement for it last night that said those 2, I think The Weeknd and I forget who else, said that they were still in it even though they dropped out.
I believe that was, I think, Roddy Ricch and J Balvin.
Ah, those 2. Yeah. Yeah, Roddy Ricch, they still said he was in the commercial and performing, but like, fun.
Yeah, that whole thing going on, and we'll say another thing that happened, but we'll talk about that later on if you get my drift.
Yeah. So, we probably should jump into the music really quick and, you know, sort of skip the formalities, but just as, like, a vague explanation of where
really
I was.
Really quick.
Like I said, I was kind of locked into this out-of-town trip I had to take, like, several months in advance, as in, this was planned with me and a group of friends before COVID-19 happened, and we kind of got locked into it, so we had no choice but to, you know, just do it anyway, of course. A lot of anxiety, even though we were still taking all the proper precautions to avoid catching the plague. But overall, it was a decent time. I witnessed 2 of my close best friends, you know, get engaged. Rami and Cassie, if you're listening to this, I of course wish you, you know, nothing but the best in your future endeavors. There was shenanigans of various kinds. I was warned repeatedly that I was not allowed near the microwave.
Yeah, about that.
Listen. I don't think there's an episode of Is It a Good Idea to Microwave This for that. I'm pretty sure they've done sex toys, but not like someone just actually, you know, making sweet, sweet love to, I don't know, Samantha or something.
Ladies and gentlemen, gonorrhea.
So, in other words, you didn't fuck a microwave.
I was legally barred from doing so, thanks to democracy. Okay, I was also outvoted on reenacting Weekend at Bernie's with my own corpse, even though I fought valiantly against that because consider the possibilities. But overall, fun times were had. So now, with that explanation out of the way, we can move on to this massive, massive buffet of music right in front of us.
Seriously, for the backlog.
Yeah, seriously, there's so much stuff here. We don't even have time to talk about the 2 minutes to late night covers that we missed in the interim. That's how nuts this is. Maybe next week, maybe. But for now, join us on this musical tour. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us and see what the hell you missed in the past few weeks. Let's start right off at the top. So, we talked last time that Mets have announced their newest album, Atlas Vending, coming out October 9th. They released the album Closer as the lead single. Still annoyed by that. We'll come back to that later. And now they've released a second single called Hail Taxi. Now, while the first single had somewhat of a sort of post-rock kind of vibe to it, this one feels more traditionally Mets with, like, really pounding drum rhythms, lots of super, like, fuzzy as hell, twangy-ass guitars. While the chorus does have a relatively more melodious vibe than the rest of it, other than that, it's the usual just straight on, just kind of blasting in your ears, building and building that noise at all times. There is a bit of a bridge where, like, you know, the guitars back off, the bass groove kind of goes on while the guitars iterate on the chorus melody, but of course that does lead to some pretty ear-splitting noise in the outro. overall, this is more traditionally Mets, so if that last single threw you off a bit, this should probably bring you back down to earth.
Mm-hmm. It's equally raucous in its instrumental noise as it is in its vocal approach. It's a very, very good post-hardcore time to be had for those of you who are, you know, into that kind of stuff.
Well, maybe Mets is not necessarily your thing, but you know what I know is your thing, Mr. Alex? Daughters. Well, we do probably have to wait a bit for whatever our next Daughters album might be on the horizon. We do know now that frontman Alexis Marshall is planning his debut solo album for release at some point in 2021. Just a vague time frame, early 2021, no title or anything yet. But we do have the first single from the album, Nature in Three Movements. And, well, it's certainly not that much of a change of pace from Daughters, i.e. this song is literally anxiety incarnate. You know, you have that stuttering, hazy, pseudo-guitar-ish rhythm, occasional pops of feedback and noise, the rapid pounding toms, with, like, this occasional, like, percussive clicking, ticking, talking, some snare rolls. You just kind of feel like this hollow grinding and clanking of steel as it just repeats these rhythms over and over and over. And, of course, Marshall's, you know, vocal performance, as always, is just wailing and screaming about a man who, like, can't be weighted down, grabbing a hammer and just digging nails into himself in a way that almost kind of looks like he's crucifying himself for reasons. Seriously, this guy just, like, goes off and, like, screams in absolute agony and fear at the end. It's why you listen to Daughters in the first place, i.e., I don't know, if you find pleasure in this kind of discomfort, I know I certainly do.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know how SpongeBob did so many things with the marble?
I gotta embrace the marble!
Right!
I gotta sniff the marble!
Well, okay.
I gotta lick the marble! I gotta wash the marble! I gotta date the marble! I gotta be the marble!
It seems like he's doing the same things with the hammer, if I could paraphrase from the statement that was put up in this Pitchfork piece. He has to cull the hammer, wield the hammer, eat the hammer, breathe the hammer, sleep the hammer, shit the hammer, fuck the hammer, be the hammer.
Don't tell you we're safe, fuck the hammer.
Only the handle. You're welcome. Yeah, this track is, it's all set to a menacing, what I would call anti-music pulse with harrowing vocals that become more and more unhinged and panic, even a little schizophrenic in parts. It's wonderful. Although this isn't one of my things, there are other things that I am into, as we'll get to later on.
Mm-hmm. But we're going to take a quick break from those noisy, rocky tangents to delve into some hip-hop here. And, hey, as always, even when we take a break for 2 weeks, it's still Griselda O'Clock.
Yeah, they are never asleep. So, you know, we've got an album coming out, we'll discuss that later. But, yeah, but this time we got something from Conway the Machine. From his new album coming September 11th, I believe.
Yep.
What's called From King to a God. And he's got the single up with Lemon, featuring the one and only Method Man.
Hey!
Yeah, I haven't heard him in a long while. So, I mean, Soul District, you get a beat from, of course, from Griselda, you know, from Griselda, known as Danger and the Beat Butcher. And of course, you got Conway going about his life, whether it be, you know, the coke game, his family, which, there are some lyrics talking about things like, down on my nigga sister is hurting, he caught a new case, but got his sister's care current there and ain't gone discouraged. Got another homie in prison, free my nigga. He will clap his, he'll let his gun, clarify anyone that would try it. Watch his baby mother's cry, like, okay, like that type of shit, which, okay, no, okay, that's, oh yeah, that's some decent lines. And of course, he got Method Man, just doing this thing, and still, after he been in the game for about as long as I've been alive.
Damn, that's a long time.
Yep, air quicker lines like, no seeing them, the rappers in the scope, you never see an M, recreating them with pockets of dirty money, I'm clean again. I ain't gonna tell you I'm dope, just stick the needle in, the goose is off white, big enough to fit this eagle in. We got some dope rhymes over here, like, yeah, we got some dope rhymes, dope beat, and yeah, that's what you expect from Camille Griselda, and of course, Method Man as well.
Yep. And moving on to that, we got a Lucy track here, courtesy of the guys in Flatbush Zombies. It's called Afterlife. It's produced by James Blake. And oh dear God, that music video, make it go away.
Yep, it is. Wow, it is that creepy. And mainly, I want to say, this reminds me of another music video. Mainly, I want to say Earl Sweatshirt's Grief video, which got, I mean, well, a little bit of that. I mean, it didn't have the skeleton shit. But yeah. Anyway, like the video doesn't match the song's tone. It's very haunting, creepy. I think haunting, creepy. And James Blake did good with the production here. Like I know this dude been, and I know this dude have been, you know, doing a whole lot of hip hop, but that's over some time now. But yeah, he's really mastering this shit. But yeah, this is vibey, creepy, especially I saw the music video with, and even you saw the, you know, the album cover, the cover with. There's a woman with, you know, a very pregnant woman, which this, yeah, if it's all thing very, you get a very, very creepy horror vibe from this.
Yes, endless nightmares. But anyway, time to move on to our next track here. So, Adult Swim comedy mastermind Tim Heidecker is releasing a new album September 25th called Fear of Death. And he's released the title track here to promote the album along with its announcement. And this song is not particularly a joke. The lyrics are actually quite straightforwardly serious. You know, Tim's awareness of his own mortality, his changing priorities as he grows older, but still wanting to find a way to, you know, be alive nonetheless. Musically, it's kind of this really jaunty sort of folk rock-ish sort of thing. In a way, it kind of reminds me of, like, Creedence Clearwater Revival. Though, minus the egotistic assholery of one Mr. John Fogerty. Thank God for that. But, yeah, that's pretty much about what you can expect. You know, take it or leave it. I mean, I think it's solid for what it is, but it's kind of just not my thing, necessarily.
Yeah. Well, this is a much more serious side that we rarely see from him. Yeah, I'm not totally feeling the indie rock flavor of this track. Really not my thing. Not like, you know, the other thing I just talked about a little while ago. That's a good thing. This thing, not my thing.
But now we can move on to something that is on the complete opposite end of the spectrum. Mr. Bungle! Who we talked about, I believe, last month. When they finally released some, you know, newly recorded material, granted it was a cover, but we now know that they have been spending some time in the studio, and they're planning a new studio release due out October 30th, their first in at least 20 years, I think, called The Raging Wrath of the Easter Bunny Demo, a nod to one of their earliest releases, The Raging Wrath of the Easter Bunny. And so what we have here is the, I guess, lead single from this project. Again, I'm not sure how exactly you qualify a lot of this given the circumstances of the project, but what we have here is a re-recording of a track called Raving Your Mind, and yep, this shit is thrashy AF. You feel the rumbling of the bass guitar shine through in the mix, holding up to the thrashy D-beats and the sick halftime grooves. Plenty of tremolo guitars also busting out these huge meaty riffs. Appropriately enough, since I think Dave Lombardo was still in the band, it has that Slayer vibe, while also having bits of, like, almost contemporary-era Anthrax. And, of course, Mike Patton's vocals still have that extremely gritty, you know, metal-as-fuck quality to them. There's some really sick-ass, you know, harmonized shredding in there, that cool, fast, swinging triplet groove after the solo, and, yeah, it's, you know, a shotgun blast of thrash energy to the face. What more could you ask for?
Mm-hmm. And I'm under the assumption that this is actually going to be mostly comprised of re-recordings of their original 1986 demo, just, you know, newly recorded with Scott Ian and Dave Lombardo. So, knowing that, my expectations are a bit teetered off, but, you know, Mr. Bungle in 2020 is still a fantastic privilege to have, with Scotty and Dave Lombardo as well. And the track is blistering and frantic with some real chunky riffage to it. I can dig it. And one of the cover songs that's going to be on this release is, as it says here in the Revolver piece, a reimagined cover of the SOD classic Hypocrites, Habla Español o Muere, or Speak English or Die, which is always fun. We need more SOD in our lives.
Yes, yes, don't we all? Anyway, moving on to the next track here. You know what? I don't have a fucking clever segue for this. Apparently, there's now a sequel to Jesse's Girl. You know, Jesse's Girl, the 1980-something classic number one hit from Rick Springfield. Yeah, apparently there's a sequel now. Officially, you know, sanctioned by Rick himself, collaborating with, of all fucking bands, Coheed and Cambria. Seriously, did anybody have this on their 2020 bingo cards? Because I didn't. Yeah, so like, this is the thing. So, Jesse's Girl 2. It's, as expected, a sequel to the original, you know, a classic 80s rock song about a guy who's infatuated with his best friend's girlfriend in a way that I'm sure was supposed to sound creepy on purpose, despite the, you know, classic rock triumphant songwriting feel. And so here we are with a sequel that, well, instrumentally at least, it pretty much sounds like Coheed and Cambria interpreting 80s rock, how you would expect that to sound. But lyrically, yeah, this is what happens when the narrator of the song actually gets to hook up with Jesse's girl. But oh boy, does this narrative take some turns, because apparently Jesse's girl is not a girl anyone should actually desire to be with, because she's kind of crazy. She's like murderous and stalker and just, I'm sorry, I don't understand this. Like, I'm not even sure I can call this good or bad, because I'm just so focused on, like, why does this exist? Just why? What the fuck?
This is, I don't even know. Like, I know we've all been a little weird and crazy this year, all stuck inside, can't go anywhere, you know, except when we have plans 6 months out in advance.
Yeah,
but
jobs.
That, yeah, we're jobs, which, but this is just, why? And no, I don't like that shoehorn in Tommy Two-Tone reference. That was lame, Claudio. And yeah, this is something nobody really asked for. Nobody really demanded. This came before Despacito 2 somehow, but it's just, this is lame. But what isn't lame?
Oh shit, yeah, that's right. Fuck, I can't. Dude, it feels like just last month we talked about this, but like, apparently Terminal Velocity, the new John Petrucci solo album, is out this Friday?
Yeah.
Fuck, how long were we gone? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be out on all the digital platforms this coming Friday. It'll be available physically, I think, in October, because, you know, you got to have some time. But yes, John Petrucci, the first track of his first solo album in 15 years, Terminal Velocity, the track is called Terminal Velocity as well. And it's a track that's filled from top to bottom with prog shreddery and a majestic bravado to its arrangement. It's kind of power metal-y in parts with more major key sections that give it a bit of brightness that we desperately need nowadays, and some pep to, you know, keep the pulse going. And have we mentioned yet that Mike Portnoy's on the drums for this track and album? Because that's kind of important in a lot of ways. And there isn't much more to say unless you want to hear me talk for 5 minutes about music theory, but nobody wants that. It's just some smooth prog shredding, and that's a great way to get on my best of list for the year. So, yeah. Friday's going to be fun.
Very melodically pleasing, major key guitar noodling, Portnoy laying down the drums as tightly as he always does. Nothing super crazy in terms of time signature switch-ups or anything. Just good old-fashioned jamming between bros. What more could you ask for? Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Well, it seems like Bulb isn't the only member of Periphery who's busy dropping lots and lots of shit. Well, I mean, granted, this isn't as much shit as, you know, all those demos and stuff, but nevertheless, never let it be said that Spencer is any kind of slouch either. Because his project, his side project, King Mothership, is dropping a new album October 2nd called The Ritual. And we have the lead single here, Cosmic Meltdown, which, you know, it does sound like the kind of thing that's like half Periphery, half Spencer's own stuff, because Lord knows how many side projects that guy's had. And it kind of sounds a lot like some sort of metal scene alt thing that probably would have been popular in like the early mid 2000s. It's very melodic throughout a lot of it with a nice driving energy, although there is that little triplet, you know, groove bridge that does get like really heavy out of the blue with some nice Spencer screams in there. It's not my favorite thing out of the Periphery camp, but if that kind of style is your thing, then go for it. Have a blast. See what I did there? Have a blast.
Yeah, clever. It's actually both Spencer and Matt Halpern from Periphery doing this, because apparently this has been in the works for about 8 years, and they've only just now been able to put pen to paper, as they say. And I got a bit of a pop-punk feel from this project, with more elements of My Chemical Romance in parts. Like that middle section where it sounds kind of not so much My Chemical Romance, kind of like a blend of Black Parade era MCR and, of all things, Danny Elfman?
Yeah, I could see that.
I think? Yeah. Either way, I kind of dig it, even if the drums sound kind of flat in the mix, but you know, maybe that's just intentional. I don't know.
Damn, 8 years. Wait, this name is sounding familiar now. Wasn't there like a demo from this band that ended up on like the Clear EP or something?
I believe it was the song Spencer wrote.
Parade of Ashes. Because I knew there was something Mothership named that eventually got folded into the Periphery discography somehow. You know, because they're like that, I guess. Anyway, moving on to our next track here. We got yet another Lucy one from one of our perennial favorites around these parts, Rico Nasty. It's a track called iPhone, and notably is produced by Dylan Brady, one half of the incredibly bizarre electro-pop act 100 Gex. A group that, I'm not sure if I should be ashamed to admit this or not, but I do in fact unironically enjoy. And listening to the song itself, yep, that's some 100 Gex style production to a T. Comical amounts of saturated autotune on Rico's voice, the really industrial-fueled, like, explosions of bass, along with some, like, really glitchy, like, rave bits here and there. Lyrically, of course, like, you know, there's kind of a romance thing going on, like, she's kind of getting stood up by some guy that she's trying to be with or whatever, and there's lyrical references to things, like, aside from the iPhone, you know, stuff like Tamagotchi and MySpace, and the video itself kind of looks like, I'm trying to remember what it is. I don't think it was, like, Second Life, but, like, what are those Second Life knockoffs that you always saw, like, commercials for on, like, you know, cheap Flash websites? I think IMVU, I think it was called. Somebody out there listening has to know what I'm talking about.
My neck is disappearing from the cringe. Thank you very much for that reminder of my terrible, terrible teenage years in high school.
Listen, I'm pretty sure there's something in my throat right now that wants to come up because I said that out loud. I did this to myself as well, but I'm trying to fight it back. But getting back to the song itself, yeah, admittingly, this feels more like a vehicle for, you know, Dylan Brady's production necessarily than a full-on proper Rico joint, but honestly, it fucking slaps like hell. I've been listening to this kind of repeatedly since I first put it on the docket, so, like, you know, points in its favor.
Okay, I'm gonna fight the bad guy in here, because I don't like it as much. I'm sorry, just that, I don't know, like, I didn't know that the guy was from that group, 100 Gex, because I heard about them sometime, but I don't know, I didn't feel the auto-tune as much. I just feel like I want to turn it off. I just got tired of hearing it. Like, I don't like saying this to this, because I like Rico Nasty, and I don't know, I just don't fuck with this track as much. Sorry.
Decibel Boost Civil War, coming soon to your local drive-in theater or something. You know, before Tenet plays.
Yeah, before Tenet plays and a Travis Scott song, which that just boggles me. to be honest.
Oh, yeah, that was the thing. But it's not on the docket, so it's not any of our business.
Well, yeah, yeah, so...
But you know what is some of our business? Anderson .Paak.
Yeah, yeah, he has a new joint. New joint that's apparently on the Madden 21 soundtrack? Which I didn't know until I saw the YouTube video, which... Okay. So anyway, he teams up with... he teams up with Maybach music boss Rick Ross on Cut a Man. And I gotta say, this track, it does have that usual, that Jewish funky that they always bring. And the song, some of which I kind of get, like, it's about how choose your real friends, the ones who bring you to the hard times, to rough times. And the fact with the motherfuckers that just says, well, we're here for the good times, but if you're out of luck, it's like, I'm out, bye-bye. Which is like his own life as, like, you know, his, oh shit, he been through, which, apparently, in this piece of Uprock, he said he found his green before Kung revealing some bad news. Was a accountant who said, despite making a lot this year, he's in the red, as in, well, you ain't got no money to spend, so I'm a chill. They're like, no, between them, like, yeah, but yeah, we got this song. Yeah, this song's pretty tight. Everett Ross once again is decent here. I say, he's usually always decent when he's running around, like when he's on someone else's work. To be honest. At least that's my opinion.
Yep, pretty much. Classic .Paak beats and flows. You know, Ross does okay, but, you know, it's all about .Paak. Anyway, moving on to our next track here. Another Lucy one here, the second one we've gotten this year from King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. It's called Some of Us, and oh dear God, that music video! Make it go away! Seriously, can we bring back the Flatbush Zombies one, please? I think that one scares me less. It's like who the hell turned on the thermal visor in Metroid for this one? But I guess it's appropriate imagery for the video, given that the song itself has melodic construction that feels like it's meant to give me anxiety. Or at least feels like it's crawling over my skin with, you know, their weird microtonal melodies, the really squealy guitar production and psychedelic synths. Gross in a way that, you know, to be honest, kind of sounds like a hybrid of Flying Microtonal Banana and Murder of the Universe. Of course, with weird horns and synths vibing with the creepiness of it. There's kind of this jazzy funk outro near the end that sounds incredibly King Crimson-ish. And I'm totally not saying that because I finally found time to binge the entire King Crimson discography. But I did. And, I don't know if it's a good thing or not that it's creeping me out. It's like, I'm not sure I want to re-listen to this one compared to, I don't know, I'll just go back to Infest the Rat's Nest or something. At least that one had sick thrash riffs.
Well, as usual, I continue to not get the everything about this band, but if being weird and pumping out all kinds of weird microtonal music works for them, then by all means, go ahead. It's for someone, I guess. Not me, but, you know, who the fuck cares what I think? No one, that's who.
Well, that's not true. I care what you think. Especially with these next few songs that we have lined up on the docket, which purely your territory. So, you'll get to take the lead on these.
Okay. Evanescence. They have a new album out. The Bitter Truth. We don't know when it's going to come out because of human malware screwing everything up. But they have a new track out here. Use My Voice. And with this... it's time for another good idea, bad idea. Good idea. Writing an empowerment anthem in the wake of all of this bullshit. And inviting Lindsey Stirling to be part of it. Bad idea. Nice. Burying Lindsey Stirling in the mix. Inviting fucking Taylor Momsen, Sharon Dane Adele, and Lizzie Hale to be part of it. All for brand recognition, because the rock scene only has so many women in prominence, and the ones at the top are... I'm not going to get into it. Oh, and violating the Strong Bad rule of music for your chorus. You don't violate the Strong Bad rule, Amy. You should know this by now. So, yeah, I'm a bit... split on this track. I like how it's structured. I like the sound of it, but having cameos and features just for the sake of cameos and features because like, yeah, I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, I got nothing either. But then again, I've never been an Evanescence guy, so my opinion's probably worth less here than Alex's.
Which is saying something.
Yeah. But we do have some interesting news on this next track here. Again, if you care to take the lead.
Yeah, so in the past couple of weeks since we've been gone, the guys in Linkin Park have been doing something kind of cool. They redid their website to make it look like your computer from, like, 22 years ago.
Ah, the memories.
How did we deal with that for so long? And unfortunately, it wasn't a good kind of emulation. Like, we can't do LGR stuff on there. It's just pre-programmed. But there were some hints of some stuff coming out very soon. And, as we've since learned, go away, email request for Pitchfork. God, that was terribly timed.
Oh, God.
I hate that shit, I really do. But anyway, just if it is, Linkin Park announced they're going to be doing a big ol' fancy 20th anniversary box set release for their debut album, Hybrid Theory. You know, the album that, according to Todd in the Shadows, sold like 300 million copies in like a year and a half.
It was a big deal.
Yes, it was. I own at least two CDs somewhere in my house or closet. I don't know. But yeah, anyway. October 9th, it'll be coming out. There'll be a 5-CD set, a triple vinyl box set, and a super deluxe box set with DVDs, an 80-page book, lithographs, all sorts of goodies. And yes, I've already ordered it. Because why not?
Wouldn't expect anything less.
Yeah, and for the lead up to this, we got an unreleased track. The track She Couldn't. And I just gotta say, it's kind of surreal to be talking about an old new Linkin Park song. And one that was an outtake from, of all albums, Hybrid Theory. The track has some stylings that the band would be known for. It kind of sounds like My December in some parts, but that core identity wasn't found quite yet. Mainly with the hook of the track having a Mos Def sample, like a direct, you know, vocal sample. They really wouldn't do that, like, ever. It's definitely a track centered around its airy, moody, airy atmosphere more than anything else. It's not bad by any means, but it's also wildly different from the main identity that we would hear on the whole album from this band. So, yeah. It's cool to get, you know, rarities and deep cuts like this. It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, it's got some small elements that you would expect, you know, turntable scratches, you know, those bars from Mike Shinoda, but other than that, this is significantly more mellowed out and somber than you would expect from, like, the Hybrid Theory that we got. So, you know, take that for what it is. But, yeah, you know, October 9th could be interesting thing to pick up. Now, for this next track here, I got nothing. What the hell is a Tala?
Tala is the band featuring Mike Portnoy, hi again, his son, Max Portnoy, who is also a drummer. Along with, according to Metal Injection, YouTube sensation Justin Bonnet. I don't know who that is. Should I know who that is?
I got no fucking clue. Unless it's Jared Dines or Samus Policelli, I don't know.
Oh, by the way, Jared, we think you're cool. But there's nothing we want to watch less than a fucking cover of Aerosmith's I Don't Want to Miss a Thing with Danny fucking Warstop of all people.
Wait, that seriously happened?
That seriously happened.
Oh, God.
Unless he's fucking with us and it was just a troll thumbnail.
You never can tell, can you?
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe it didn't even happen at all. But anyway, Tala, much like how when we talked about James LaBrie's son's band Falsett, how you didn't like them because they were a bit more like Code Orange and nothing more, at least to me, this isn't so much like it's trying to be Code Orange or nothing more.
Which is funny, fact, because the YouTube description explicitly states they cite Code Orange as an influence.
Honestly, it sounds more like early Slipknot and late 90s Korn. Which, recontextualized, could be interesting. Yeah. October 2nd, their debut album, Metrophagy. Am I saying that right?
I have no fucking clue.
Metrophagy. I'm trying to look up how you pronounce it. Mastrophagy. I don't know. I'm words are hard.
Yeah.
This is a bit of a frantic song. You can tell that Max Portnoy really likes that first Slipknot album based on how the drum grooves are laid out. And that this vocalist was really big into Jonathan Davis from the late 90s, and thankfully not that EDM show that, if you follow a certain Twitter account, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Mm.
Do you remember?
I don't think I want to.
So yeah, pretty good track, even if it is either a recycling or an actual re-recording of the same track from their self-released EP from 2018. Which I bet a lot of you forgot about, myself included. But, I dig it. I'm interested in hearing more, if it's keeping up this kind of late 90s nu metal vibe.
You ever hear one of those songs where it's like, if you changed literally just one thing about it, it would be perfectly fine? Because the thing here is, instrumentally, song's okay. I mean, yeah, it's got like that Korn, Slipknot, maybe some dashes of Pantera and Devil Driver vibe in there. Take that as you will. But there's a decently satisfying, you know, energetic chug to the guitars and bass. Those drum grooves are pretty tight and heavy. There is kind of a vaguely deathcore-ish bit near the end, but otherwise, instrumentally, the song gets the job done. And then the vocalist has to keep opening his mouth and vomiting over the fucking track with just the most ungodly awful vocal performance I think I will hear all goddamn year. And keep in mind, that's including Wes Scantlin covering Nirvana. I genuinely can't tell which of these is worse. Oh my fucking god, this... How do you have vocals like this and qualify as a YouTube sensation? How? Do YouTubers just suddenly have no taste? You know, it's YouTube, they might as well probably not have taste. Just fuck me. Now I'm going to tell you how I really feel. Actually, let's not, because I don't want to think about the fucking sonic horrors of the vocalist creeping into my reality.
Well, you want to hear something piercing? This next track.
Ah, yes, the next track. So
this song hurt my ears.
Well, okay, first off, some context. So we have a track here from producer Tobacco, who's coming out with a new album October 30th called Hot, Wet, and Sassy, courtesy of our friends in Ghostly International. Yeah, that's something I forgot about when I clicked the thing. I was doing notes. So we have the lead single here called Babysitter, and it features an appearance by one Mr. Trent Reznor. I have no idea who that guy is. I think he's composed for stuff, and he's like in a band or something. Does anybody know who Trent Reznor is? Anyone?
Apparently he's fragile.
I guess so. But anyway, so with this track, there's a pretty, you know, I'm guessing I'm going against the grain here by saying this, but I do dig the synthetic vibe of it all. The percussion and bass are very buzzy in a very, you know, industrial-ish sense. Then when, like, the vocals kick in, which I'm assuming is Trent himself, there's a super robotic quality to them that sounds, like, really creepy and cool in a way I wasn't expecting. And even when the song settles into kind of a melodic lull, the vocals are still coded in vocoder, like you're listening to, like, a voiceover on, like, a space shuttle or something. And then once it gets back into the verse, the song kicks in with more appropriate, like, guitars that sound, you know, more like traditional Nine Inch Nails territory. It's kind of cool. I kind of like it.
This song actually hurt me to try and listen to. It's in the first few seconds, you have this very sharp synth wave going through it. Oh God, it hurts. It really hurt my ears. I could not listen to more than like 10 seconds of it. I had to click it off. Like, it's that sharp and piercing.
Now tell us how you really feel.
Oh, if only I were that elegant or eloquent or...
Wait, I just realized something. Able to form words.
Yes, Mark?
Yeah, you said with the background. That name sounds so familiar. Wait, was he the same dude that did that project with Aesop Rock called Malibu Ken?
You know what? I think it is. That's why his name's
okay. So it is. The name sounds so fucking familiar.
We're learning things.
Yeah. Speaking of familiar.
Yep. Next up on the docket, looks like there's a new album coming out from producer Machine Drum October 9th called A View of You. We have the lead single, K-Tran, and oh, hey, look at that. It features Mark's boy. It features Mr. Freddie Gibbs. He's here again, because the guy never takes a break.
Yes, Freddie Gibbs returns to the business room for me, not only from Odin DJ Academics, well, over and over, but to this little track. And I gotta say, wow, this beat sounds like a blend of trap, 70s, disco type of shit, like... The way it plays, it sounds like you're pulling up to the club playing that shit. That is like certified motherfucking banger. Like, yes, when you hear that shit, you're like, okay, this shit is fucking hitting. And of course, for the gifts, you know, we're giving him, you got these little trap shit. And yeah, the song is actually kind of short, like two minutes, 18 seconds, like, alright, this kind of bangs. This kind of bangs. Even the visuals look kind of big. It looks like some out of a long lost 80s fantasy movie with that type of shit. Like, all glowy and shit. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, Stragg is banging the beast fire before he does what he does. And yeah. And yeah, I'm thinking maybe I should be checking this album out. Now I'm out pretty soon in October.
Yes, I'm interested as well. Smooth ass beat, tight ass bars. Couldn't ask for anything else. But time to swerve into some more electronic territory. This one, admittingly, purely for me. So, synthwave producer Dan Terminus is releasing his newest album September 25th, titled "Last Call for All Passengers." And so we have the lead single here, Ruins, and oh dear God, my one fear in the music video, horses! Ugh. I thought we all agreed, horses aren't real. Why do you keep trying to convince us they're real? They're nightmare creatures is what they are. But anyway, enough of my weird horse fear. Getting onto the song itself, it starts off with a lot of tweeting synths and these very lush kinds of chords. The drums kick in soon after with this very slow, steady groove with this kind of bass synth that, like, ascends in the mix, kind of drops in and out, leaving some space for the actual melodies to kick in. It's a pretty repetitive song. Like, there are some variations in, like, how often the bass synths, you know, accentuate the rhythm with kind of occasional more of an aggressive chug. But compared to some of his more high energy and atmospheric stuff, this one is more of a... you know, steady groove in a way that kind of feels like some kind of a Carpenter Brute-esque deep cut. But, you know, as someone who is a sucker for the synths, I will of course be there in September to put that synth shit into my veins. And moving on to our next track here, back into the realm of metal, particularly Sludge and Doom, to be precise, as the guys in Thou, who are never ones to slouch for too long, have announced a new collaborative album coming out October 30th called May Our Chambers Be Full. And their collaborator on this is musician Emma Ruth Rundle, notable for projects like Red Sparrows, and we've talked about her quite a bit as she is a frequent guest in some of those 2 Minutes to Late Night Quarantine covers. She might even be in some of the ones that we skipped over that we might end up talking about in the next episode. I'd have to check. But, yeah, to go along with this collaborative album announcement, we have the lead single Ancestral Recall, and it's a pretty decent showcase of the two artist styles, I think. It starts off with, you know, some of those slow, doomier elements with the sludgy riffs and pounding drums, with Emma's vocals singing clean over top, adding this very melancholic post-metal vibe to things before the thou, you know, style kicks in proper, and everything gets a lot more, you know, abrasive and exploding in your ears with fuzz and bassy low end. There is, of course, another, like, sort of post-metal bridge where the guitars sort of belt out this dingy, echoey, clean melody. Everything really somber and vibey. And again, Emma singing over top. And, you know, I might have to check out more of her stuff. She's got a really good voice for this kind of melancholic post-metal atmosphere. As someone who's a sucker for Thou and their various projects and whatnot, I am very intrigued. This might make some good Halloween listening.
Yeah, it's got the spoopiness to it, and it's fine to me. Not too big on the vocals, as I am on the instruments coalescing into itself, into this kind of broad soundscape vibe that they're going for. Kind of reminds me of like a sludgier version of The Unforgiven, if that makes any sense. I don't know, just the way the chords progress through, it kind of reminds me of The Unforgiven. I can't tell you why.
You never know. Maybe they do have Metallica as an influence in there somewhere. Who doesn't these days? You know, when everyone's not busy ripping off Meshuggah. But that's neither here nor there. But while we're on the topic of sludge, so recently we talked about Paul Bearer announcing a new album October 23rd called Forgotten Days. We discussed the lead single, the title track, and now we have a new single here called Rite of Passage. And compared to the more frantic kind of paranoia of the original, you know, single we got, this one is, it feels more typical. Like, it's got plenty of these slow building, you know, low-end grooves in the guitars with those kind of melodic clean melodies over top that vibe well with, like, those really echoey vocals. It's pretty straightforward in its composition. It doesn't have as much of an intense, you know, paranoid vibe or even as much of an intense melodic vibe as some of the really, really standout Paul Bearer tracks. This one feels like it's just kind of there. I do like how the song closes out, though, if that counts for anything.
Mm-hmm. Slow and sludgy with a sense of somberness to it. Sweet.
Now we move on to our next track here, and oh, look at that. It's a Lucy from French metal titans Gojira. It's called Another World, and, well, it's okay, so it opens up with this kind of steady, grooving, triplet, hammer-on, pull-on thing in the guitars. The drum beat is pretty simple and straightforward, all things considered, writing the groove without too much variation aside from a few fills here and there. The vocals bellow over top with that usual epic grandiosity that's expected of them. And admittedly, it just kind of repeats itself a lot throughout the song. And I gotta be honest, this is kind of reminding me of like all the things I didn't like about Magma. Namely that it's way too simple and streamlined compared to the really top-tier Gojira material. It's just, I don't know. This feels like they're going down the Mastodon route, if that makes any sense.
It's all right, but it's nothing, you know, super, super revolutionary for these guys. I don't know if it's going to be indicative of anything going forward, since this is, a one-off. I like the whammy guitar effects, if that counts for anything, but, it's not quite L'Enfant Sauvage level, if that makes any sense.
What a classic.
Yeah, it's just more Gojira. And who doesn't like more Gojira? I know Napalm Death likes more Gojira.
Yes. Yes, they do. As we were able to, you know, deduce from the fact that they have released a new single from their upcoming album, Throes of Joy in the Jaws of Defeatism. God, that's a title that's going to trip me up every time I have to say it. September 18th. This new single is called Amoral, and compared to the explosions of grind we got from the lead single, This one is very decidedly less grind. It's much more groove metal oriented. There's even kind of a vague sense of melody in there, although of course the melody has like those usual sort of super dark, creepy, you know, vibes to it. There's some groove like Ojira, maybe some touches of like Crowbar in there as well, I guess you could say. Kind of like that vague sludge groove thing going on. I kind of dig it. It's got a really cool vibe in its own way, but if you were expecting a shotgun blast of, you know, fast tempos and blast beats, then this song ain't it.
Yeah, slower pace with a distinct hook to it. From any other band, it would be standard fare, but from Napalm Death of all bands, you know, the band that released like a 6-second song called You Suffer.
Excuse me, it's 1.3 seconds. Get it right.
Oh, well, pardon me. But yeah, from Napalm Death, this feels weird. Like Barney's actually trying to sing. It's strange. It feels like they're trying to go for a sound that's more, well, Les Fantes Sauvages Gojira. It's weird.
Yeah. But moving on to the next track here, if you're looking for something that fits more of a typical extreme metal benchmark, the lads in Anul Nathrok have announced their newest album for an October 2nd release called Endarkenment, and that is certainly an album cover. And no, not the one that's in the article, but yeah, apparently they can't show that in too many places, so you just have to Google it for its... I'll just give you a hint. The album art is modeled after the names of one of the tracks. And if you look at the track list, it's probably the one you think it is. But moving on, we have the title track, as we said. And it fits pretty well with the Anul Nathrok style. It's relatively less industrial than some of the tracks we've gotten from, you know, previous albums. Though, surely those industrial elements will probably be on the full thing. But this still rips out of the gate with a lot of these discordant tremolo guitars, those harsh, you know, low-end bellowing vocals, those high screeches, plenty of D-beats and blast beats, the really ominous guitar melodies, contrasted by those weird pockets of, you know, over-the-top, soaring, triumphant, clean vocals in the chorus. And, of course, the music video, we can't neglect that, because it's loaded with imagery of crowds of humanoid pigs wearing red hats, various quotes about the natures of fascism and authoritarianism, calls to drink bleach and whatnot. Gee, I wonder what this video could be aimed at. There's only so many things that could be calling out. But yeah, as a sucker for Anul Nathrok's particular brand of extreme industrial blackened death metal, I approve.
Okay. It takes a lot for me to be taken back by a track. This is uncomfortably harsh. Like it gets more and more abrasive as it goes on, and it's kind of intimidating. Yes, I can get behind the message of the video that we're surrounded by a bunch of pig-headed morons. Get it? Pig-headed. Being led to a blind slaughter who go by the words of pickles. No! Drink the bleach!
No! Drink the bleach!
Bleach is healthy. It's mostly water. And we're mostly water. Therefore, we are bleach.
As for the music, I sure wasn't expecting to hear a clean vocal chorus on this track with how almost obnoxiously abrasive it gets. I don't know about this. This might be a little too harsh for me, considering this is an album with artwork so graphic and explicit that it has to be hidden from retailers. Because I'm not going to spoil it. You can look for yourself. Just know it's a different kind of penal code, if you know what I mean.
What a magnificent world we live in. But let's back off from the realms of extreme metal to this next track here. So, a while back, the Adult Swim Singles program, you know, wrapped up prematurely, and one of the last songs we got was, of course, the song I'm a Joestar from rapper Open Mike Eagle. Now, as it turns out, this wasn't just a one-off thing recorded for that program, but instead, it's going to be appearing on his upcoming new studio album, coming out October 16th, titled Anime, Trauma, and Divorce. A very characteristically mic'd album title, if I do say so myself. And so to go along with the album announcement proper, we have a new single here from Mr. Open Mike Eagle, featuring guest vocals from Carrie Foe, and it's named after one of the greatest mothers in all of anime, Bucciarati.
I can tell you've lived life as the eternal screw-up. Don't change on my account. Arrivederci.
Hell, the single artwork is literally just him wearing that weird outfit and coming out of a giant zipper, so clearly he knows what's up. And as expected from that album title in particular, you definitely get this sense of, like, depressive melancholy from the lyrics, as Mike feels like everything around his life is falling apart, he's unable to get it back together, not even a Christmas miracle can help him. And even the chorus has, like, some humorous wordplay, as, you know, Carrie's talking about, like, her bag that's, like, so full of shit that she can't, like, you know, close the zipper because it's all broken. And, you know, she's talking about zippers literally. I'm pretty sure Mike wants the zippers metaphorically. You know, who doesn't want the power of sticky fingers? That means you get a boss-ass outfit and cool hair. And you have to look over 5 unruly Italians, including one who can't do math and one who keeps shooting himself. I dig the song. But, you know, I have to make time for the JoJo references.
Yeah, I got 2 things to say. 1, the song, yeah, it's pretty good. 2, I'm looking at this track list. There is some anime references that I see. Like, track 1 is called Death Parade, which I want to say that's that one anime about going to some type of limbo where it's like, okay, you can go to heaven or hell or that type of shit.
One where they're, like, playing games to determine their fate.
Yeah.
I think it was from the same director who does the Mob Psycho 100 anime and that decadence thing I keep hearing about this season. I gotta check that out when I get a chance.
Okay, there's that, and... No, just to call head-ass idiot Shinji, which, okay, I wonder what that's gonna be. And another thing I noticed, is Lisa be like usually he'd be on Melon Music Group, but not this time around. It says, I think it's his own company, Auto Reverse Records.
Interesting.
Yeah. So now it's cool to see. I want to see how this album sounds like, especially for head ass idiot Shinji.
Yeah, that's gonna be an interesting experience. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. It's a Lucy one. This one being a collaboration featuring, you know, The Weeknd, of course, and a posthumous vocal from the late Juice WRLD. It's a track called Smile, and there's not really much I could say in particular other than it feels pretty typical of, like, both their styles, i.e. it's this really moody trap soul kind of joint with lyrics about, you know, their personal relationship woes and all that. Gotta admit, it's really weird seeing Juice WRLD in the video looking like one of those Apple eye... whatever they call those. That's kind of surreal to see.
I forgot. But yeah, it is kind of like weird. We're seeing this, so this ain't, well, I know it's anime like that, and I know songs like, you know, I think I got from the video, it's like, oh, this girl, I'm guessing she's you know, mourning over, well, you guess. I sort of get it. It is sort of what we get from, you know, from what we heard from Juice WRLD. And of course, The Weeknd has the verse here, although I say it's more of a Juice WRLD song than a Weeknd song, considering, like, Juice WRLD does take over this. isn't most of the song. Like, we can have, like, maybe a middle verse here and there. But, yeah, it's definitely what I expect from both of them. I will say it's odd and weird talking about them right now. Well, he's talking about Juice WRLD right now, considering we never have. And now...
Yeah.
So, let's get to a collab that has everyone talking. The week we were gone, which... I want to cover this one.
So, first off, let's just talk about Megan Thee Stallion for a second. She's had a year that's been full of some major ups and downs. On the one hand, she had a number one hit single, you know, Savage, that remix with Beyonce. And she's even done some stuff on the side, like a clothing brand collaboration with Crunchyroll of all outlets.
Yay.
On the other hand, she got shot.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the internet thought it was appropriate to make jokes about it. Douchebags. But recently she has, you know, been recovering. So much so that she was able to implicate the shooter, who turned out to be rapper Tory Lanez. I would also like to announce that this podcast is now officially anti-Tory Lanez. Fuck you.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
And now she's released a new song that's been the talk of the town, collaborating with fellow big-name rapper Cardi B on a track called WAP. And yes, that is an acronym. They tell you what it is repeatedly in the song. And, oh boy. I want to admit, there's a part of me that kind of wants to like this song more than I actually do. Just because, like, you can tell it's trying to be the same kind of gloriously over-the-top sex jam as something like Anaconda by Nicki Minaj. Trust me, the video itself makes no bones about it. I'm ashamed to admit I've watched it all the way through more than multiple times for reasons. And, of course, the lyrics are very unashamed with imagery about, like, you know, parking a giant truck in a big-ass garage. Cardi B is a connoisseur of classic vines, macaroni in the pot, you know.
That's what good pussy sounds like.
Lahmar? And there's that one weird Megan Thee Stallion line I just kind of, I think I'm supposed to get, but I don't. When I ride the dick, I'ma spell my name. However, is that supposed to be like an inverse of that Sam Kinison thing? You know, the one... But, yeah, like I said, it's under normal circumstances. I would say the song is just kind of average. Like, Megan Thee Stallion obviously outshines Cardi B, and I could say I've heard better from Cardi B even. I'm not that much of a big fan of hers. But due to actual circumstances, this is my number one favorite song that has come out all year, purely out of spite.
Yeah, and, okay, and I'm gonna try to say about this too. So I mean, I think the song's okay. I was like, it's a section between the two rappers. Like, Cardi does good, Megan does good. Like, it's what I usually hear. And I want to bring this up. Y'all motherfuckers keep bringing it about. Oh, this is so immoral. This is so, man, you better shut the fuck up with that shit. There've been tons and tons of rap songs of sex jams that are. More raunchy than this. Like, it's very raunchy, but have you not, where you been the past few years? You heard of songs like Tip Drill, Uchi Wally, Me So Horny? You seen them videos? You watch BT Uncut? You seen the shit that you notice? And that goes for you old niggas that be, they talk about this shit. Because you know how dumb you sound trying to talk like, oh, this should be more. And then, y'all got another bring of rappers like No Name Rhapsody. It's like you're bringing them up, even though you're only doing that. It's like the music cover of Whataboutism. It's like, why are you bringing them up? And even they said that they respect people like Rhapsody and No Name, but they know you don't stream them motherfuckers because y'all talk more than you can prove. And then when you try to explain the song, some of you really, really cannot do it well. Enter Ben Shapiro.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
The whitest kid you know, yeah.
And, yeah. Oh, and also, Ben, maybe it's not talking about, you know, how pussies work. And saying your wife's pussy is not wet that might mean that means something very different. And wow, you fucking own yourself. Oh, the fucking memes of this thing. The fucking memes.
I gotta tell you, it's amazing to me that Ben Shapiro is anti-communism, because he's a guy who loves getting publicly owned.
Yeah. One of many. Isn't that right, Jerry Falwell Jr., who is totally into that kind of stuff, from what we know. Like the rest of the fucking clown show here in Charlotte I have to deal with for 4 days.
Oh, God, that's right. Thank God I'm not actually watching that right now.
Like, no joke. At work in our break room, somebody lost the remote. It's been stuck on CNN for the past 3 days.
Oh, no.
And nobody knows how to change the channel without the remote. So, wait,
what? They can just get up and...
Yeah, it's one of those new TVs. It doesn't have any buttons on it.
Oh, no.
That's bad design. You always have buttons as a backup.
Dude,
my friends have one of those, like, you know, contemporary TVs, you know, flat screen and all that, and it still has buttons on the side. Like, that's just bad electronic design.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Oh, and as an addition to the whole talking about other songs, I'm just gonna point you all to like half of the discography of Prince.
The man who got famous for inventing sex.
So screw your double standards, screw your whataboutism. You're the ones with the problem, especially you, Ben. You're the one who can't get her wet.
I've never seen a man so willing to admit that he sucks at satisfying his wife.
Oh. And then Jerry Falwell went, "Hold my beer."
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's it for that whole discourse. Although the only last thing I want to add, "Love Again" by Run the Jewels. Just, you know, I like that song a lot. That to me is still like the crown king of contemporary rap sex jams. So seriously, like y'all just chill out, smoke some weed or something. This ain't anywhere near the worst that's ever been heard by anyone.
Yeah,
well, I'm pretty sure you could find raunchier in Megan Thee Stallion deep cuts.
Oh yeah, pretty much. And just so you know, the song's number one again.
That makes two number one hits for Megan Thee Stallion. So things are looking up.
Yeah, good.
But now we can move out of discourse to the last song this week, and certainly one of the biggest. Relatively speaking, nothing could be as big as WAP, but after many, many months of teasing, and after the past week of, you know, internet coordinates and having to hunt out billboards and shit like that, it turns out that the guys in Deftones will finally be releasing their much-anticipated 9th studio album on September 25th, titled Ohms. A pretty big one, considering that this is the first time since 2003's self-titled that they're working with producer Terry Date, who was a defining part of their early sound. So, yeah, it's been like 4 years since Gore came out, and now we have this new album, and the lead single, which is the title track, and which is apparently also the album closer. Oh my god, why do we keep doing this?
They did the thing, unfortunately.
Like, look, I know there's bigger things to bitch about in music, but like, come on, leave a surprise for us or something. God. But like, okay, might as well talk about like the actual song itself. So, yeah, as expected, there's kind of like that usual sort of shoegaze alt metal melancholy. There's this really nice euphoric vibe to that intro, almost kind of vaguely major key-ish descending guitar line, you know, kind of 6/4 time before it segues into this repeating set of riffs with a really nice satisfying tone to the guitars. By the way, we have officially reached DEFCON 5. Stephen Carpenter is now using 9-string guitars. It took 9 albums, but that's where we are now. So, there's an appropriately, like, this dramatic vibe and bent to the chord progressions, especially in the chorus, combined with just the overall steady groove of the tempo, and Chino's, as always, really solid vocal performance. It does repeat that intro riff at the end, though it's preceded by this kind of reverse of it, where it's like this ascending note line with like a 7/4 time kind of rhythm. And yeah, overall, it's a really, really good song and an interesting, you know, way to debut the album. In fact, I'm kind of looking forward to this one because I've kind of had this mental theory for a while, because we're up to like album number 9 of theirs. And if you look back at the past couple of, you know, batches of albums, I've noticed that the third album is usually like the best one from them. So like, if you look at their first three albums, the best is White Pony. If you look at their middle three albums, the best is Diamond Eyes. And so now we had Koi no Yokan, which was pretty good. Gore, which had some decent tracks, but not something I revisit all that often. And fingers crossed that, you know, with Terry Day back in the producer chair, maybe Ohms is going to bring back some really interesting magic. Hell, they've been talking up this thing a lot, so fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's some very neat guitar work on this track. A lot of octave and fifth chords between left and right channels with a spacious soundscape that would certainly fit right in with some of the earlier cuts from this group, again, with Terry Day at the production helm, along with the very airy vocal inflections. It's reminded me a lot of early Deftones. So, yeah, it's good stuff. Maybe we'll get that pattern again for this album. You never know.
We shall see. We got another month to go. But that officially does it for nearly all the songs we missed. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we still got some news topics to discuss, so hold on tight, kids. There's still a little bit more to go. And we're back. Our first news topic here concerns the digital streaming and radio offerings courtesy of Apple. Something that I feel is probably best left to the one person on this podcast that actively uses Apple products. So,
yeah.
Alex, care to explain?
Yeah, that would be me. So, in between all the goings-on between Apple and Epic Games, which, guys, you violated the terms of service. You deserve to get kicked off. It's simple as that. You sign a contract, you break it, you get kicked out.
But our microtransactions, though.
All for
my money. Ow.
We've talked about this. Don't hit yourself. Say that for the VMAs, at least.
Yeah.
But yeah, in between, you know, bitching about 30 cents on the dollar, Apple Music, which I use because fuck Spotify, they have some changes going on with their what they call radio, which is really just 24/7 live streams. But yeah, whatever. Beats One, as it's been known since launch, has changed to Apple Music One because simplicity, I guess. Okay. And they're also launching more, or have launched more, quote-unquote, linear stations, such as Apple Music Hits, as they call it, which will focus on tracks from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. I guess it's all-encompassing. They're going to have more hosts, you know, people you don't care about, and for some reason Shania Twain, because something. There's going to be a country channel because country music is still big.
Yep.
I guess. And as I am going to be scrolling through it, this app on my phone, let's see what else we can find. Oh, that's all they have. That's kind of underwhelming, actually. I mean, yeah. you get like a Pandora kind of radio thing, but that's just basic playlists, really. So maybe it's the first step to something greater. I mean, they have, you know, local radio channels, but I think they've always had those, and they're just integrated from, like, TuneIn and iHeartRadio, so... Yeah, it's an all-in-one-stop shop thing for three radio channels. This didn't really need to go on as long as it did, but, you know, we need to talk about stuff, because we only have three news items here.
Yeah. So, there's those changes going on the Apple front. Meanwhile, I'm still trying to figure out what the hell is going on with Google Play, for reasons that are actually very concerning to me, because I can't figure out what's going on there, and I'm not sure how that'll affect the future of the podcast on there. You'll probably still be only able to find us on iTunes at a certain point. Who knows? I don't understand technology. But anyway, moving on to the second news article here. A pretty quick one. So, as you remember, one of the best albums that came out last year was Sturgill Simpson's Sound and Fury, which, as we all know, was also accompanied by a short anime film adaptation, tie-in sort of thing, which I only recently got around to watching a few months ago. Don't completely understand what the story's supposed to be, but at least the visuals look really cool. But as it turns out, he's not done with this project just yet, as we are getting a 144-page graphic novel that serves as a prequel to the events depicted in the film and the album. The credited artists are Rufus Daiklo, Death Burger, that's a name, Rosie Campe, Vasilis Lolos, and Takashi Okazaki. So, Sound and Fury, the graphic novel, coming out November 17th via Z2 Comics. That being the same publisher that I'm guessing releases a lot of graphic novels for a lot of music acts. They're also doing that bullshit Skrillex graphic novel, but not Skrillex, Skillet, fuck.
Yeah. It's
a band so forgettable, I get them mixed up with someone else. So, yeah, that's probably going to be an interesting thing. Not much to add other than there's some preview art included in the body of the Pitchfork piece, and yeah, a lot of it looks pretty damn cool. I might be tempted to put an order in on this. But that does it for those quick news articles. Now it's time for the big one we got here, because apparently, amidst all the COVID-19 ragings, we forgot that it's apparently about that time again for XXL Magazine to reveal their 2020 freshman class. And I gotta be honest, there's only one reaction I have to the lineup this year. Who the fuck are you people? I mean, aside from one person I recognize, but other than that, y'all motherfuckers, that, as far as I'm concerned, you just popped into the void like 5 minutes ago. But then again, maybe Mark can provide greater context. Who knows?
Yeah, the reason I give this list is... Okay, overall, this list is... Okay, first of all, I forgot this happened today because I thought this was going to be flat out canceled, but I guess they were still playing that shit. But all right. But we got, of course, 10, you know, 10 freshmen. What we're looking at is Polo G.
Only name I recognize.
Okay, now coming from the town of Chicago, mostly, I mean, most known for doing the Chicago drill, or Chicago drill music. What I know about him is, he did start with that Chicago drill rap sound, but I think in recent years he have gotten more melodic, more sing rappy type of shit. He got two studio albums out. Like recent one is The Goat, which I think just hit, released like a couple of months ago. And of course, he got some singles. One called Go Stupid with Stunner for Biggest, and another freshman, which we'll get to in a minute. And that's all I got for this guy. I don't know that much for him. This next one, I'm actually interested in, because she comes from my state, Alabama, oh. Montgomery, Alabama. This rapper is Chica, or Chica. I'm sorry if I said it wrong. Which of course, yes, coming from Alabama, like, all right, good. I'm looking forward to this one. Like, okay, I don't know about her, she has a couple of EPs released. She signed to Warner Records. She was apparently in a movie this year. Yeah, this year a Netflix movie called Project Power. Oh, that's the one with Jimmy Foxx and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, my mother watched that movie the other day. It was not good.
Oh, damn. I heard. Okay, I heard.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Okay. Okay, anyway, what I heard about this, she is known for, I think, her home poultry style type of rap, like, okay, which I get, she does identify herself as bisexual. She's
one of us. One of us.
One of us.
Yep, and even though I'm sorry, I don't know shit about her, but okay. I was gonna say she did a song with JoJo, the singer JoJo.
Ah.
The Get Out, Leave, you know, that JoJo. Okay, look at the boy hearing things from her. Okay, next one we got is Ellen E. Chopper. which, oh boy. Okay, and he's known for the single, he's known for some singles like Camelot, Welcome Down, and his, okay, I know it was one song, I keep getting, oh yeah, Shot of Flow, which I guess that's the song I've most known him for, and his flow is, not that good, at least from what I know about it, at least what I heard about it, but he comes from, Memphis, Tennessee. And of course he's on the Warner. He got, that's all I know. Like, I would say rap is very energetic from what we heard, but I don't know. He just seems like the usual type of shit. Next up we have somebody who's blowing up right now, Jack Harlow, coming from Louisville, Kentucky. And if you don't know what he is, he has a single out called What's Poppin'. Number two was sold in a remix featuring The Baby, Lil Wayne, and other fucker that we're not saying right now.
Please don't tell me it's who I think it is.
Here's a hint. It is what you think it is.
Oh god, it's the clown.
Yep. And according to Mr. Hall, he signed with Generation Now in Atlantic, which I guess that's the same label Little Weezy was signed to. He has a couple of EPs in his name, mixtapes in his name before signing there in 2018 with Loose and Confetti, which I guess he got no album out yet. Although I'm pretty sure when we ever get an album, He might cut that one verse from that remix, which come to think of it, yet everybody's just cutting that guy's verses off. Like, even Kalani cut out a verse from her song from her album. But anyway, next up, coming up from Atlanta, Little Kid, which, oh boy, he's rapper coming from Atlanta, and he signed to Young Slime Life Records, aka Young Thug's record label, as well as 300 Entertainment. Oh my damn. I heard not so good things about 300. Certainly that's the one Megan Thee Stallion signed to. And you heard about her record company troubles and shit.
Yeah, that's also been going on.
Yeah, and okay, anyway, he's known for, he got a mixtape series called Trap on Cleveland, which the third one, which is now an album which got released a couple of weeks back. I ain't heard it. All I know is Special Pulse did not give it a good review on his series, but yeah, on the Pulse thing. But yeah, I don't know. He's just your average mellow trap rapper, I guess. I don't know. And next up, we got another one coming from New York. Next couple ones come from New York. Little TJ. TJ Company also basically a melodic rapper singer, since his main genre is trap and this time New York drill. And of course I know he released last year, and he made some appearances on Possible's album Superstar Even a Move, with that one track Mood Swings, which is very popular on TikTok. How do I know? Don't ask. Speaking of for New York rappers, New York drill rappers, this next one is, and I can't say his name's right, Fabio Foreign, which, okay, you know, being part of like New York drill or Brooklyn drill music, It's mostly just like he appeared on some records from Drake, TJ, Lil TJ, and of course the late Pop Smoke, which of course the dude is also you know in the New York drill scene. Also, he signed with Columbia and Rich Fish Records, which is owned by Mace. Yes, that Mace, Bad Boy Mace. I'm not singing it. You know, but yeah. What I'm getting with this dude is, I guess, if I smoke, he's doing the New York drill shit, which, I gotta be honest, I haven't listened to much of anybody on this list, or almost anybody on this list, but I'm just going to who I know, and, I do see the next one, somebody I know, at least someone I recognize, Cowboy, and yes, that's, and by not, I mean it's spelled C-A-L boy, like cow as in Calvin, which is actually his real name. I know he's associated with Meek Mill a lot. I think he used to be signed with Dream Chasers, but I guess that's not a thing anymore for him. He comes from Chicago as well. He got a couple of mixtapes out, and I'm guessing he's. I know he signed with Polo Grounds Music and RCA. RCA, he got an album out a couple months back, February. Long Live the Kings, which, like I said, on my mind, I guess that's everybody's mind. Okay, this one I've been hearing about. This one I've been hearing about at least a lot lately. Rod Wave. He been getting some shine on lately. Like I know he had his. It's having Pray for Love. That hit. They had on Billboard piece number 2. Of course, he got some singles going on like Hard on Ice, and let's see, you got that, and I want to say the one song Racks the Riches, which again, that's another song that I kind of heard through TikTok. Yeah, I was the one I heard. Like he is kind of a sing like a sing-songy rapper from what I heard from him, but I think he seems decent to me. That's at least from what I heard of him.
Oh, and he's a native of St. Petersburg. Interesting.
Oh yeah. Oh shit. That's right. He's from Florida. I mean, he's from Florida too. Okay. Last three. We got Baby Keem. Okay. Keem hailing from. Las Vegas, and he knows for a song called Orange Soda. And I don't know about the actual drink or some shit. Okay. Apparently, he's been a song. He says his cousin is. Hold up, I read this. Keem has both songwriting and production credits on his cousin Kendrick Lamar's. But oh, he's a cousin of Kendrick Lamar. I did not know that.
Huh. Okay, there's a twist. I was not expecting.
Okay, he worked on Black Panther the album, J-Rock's Redemption, Schoolboy's Crash Talk, the song Now from The Lion King the Gift album. And okay, this is interesting. And of course, he's featured on the visual. If you feature on that visual thing from Kendrick Lamar's company, PG Language, I still don't know which the one that we just figure out. Wait, what the fuck's that about? Okay, I guess we know a little bit about him. All right, this next one, who the hell is 24K Golden? And yes, that's spelled 24K Gold and. In. And it says trap and emo rap. Okay. He comes from San Francisco, California. Got Peter's name, got one EP in his name, got one song out called Mood, which I don't know. So like, okay, I guess. Yeah, and you know what? This last one, who I actually have heard of, who actually have listened to her album recently, because it came out, last week. The unfortunately named title, Mulatto. Which, don't that shit mean, I don't know, some type of racist shit, like white skin, I don't know. I don't know, I'm getting too heavy to this. She's from Atlanta, she got a record out right now called Queen of the South. And that's spelled with an F, like South, S-O-U-F. And I will say, well, in this lane now where we see a lot more female rappers coming out, she's doing all right. Like, the album I listen to, like, I'll say that it's typical, but it's kind of all right. Like, her, like I guess I, I, it goes, She's gonna go with a different sound, like certain sound, cause like I know she's in the I know she's in just in the trap genre, but I guess she wanna go for more than that, which I kind of get. But yeah, that's all I got from these rappers. And okay, I if it seems like I ain't got much to say about these rappers, mainly because either A, I don't know a lot about them, or I just haven't listened to most of their shit, or I will say that reading the article here, they said they wanted Pop Smoke to be on here, but of course with his death happening, that wasn't gonna happen. Which yeah, there was a blowback on that, which.
I think they said he was like the very first rapper they like met with and he accepted before all that happened.
Yeah.
But he's still like in spirit considered a part of the class to them.
Yeah, they give it to the rappers, you know, they're all from New York and they have known him and they're all part of you know the New York drill scene. But these little rappers, which I don't know, I really don't feel them. I really don't have much to say, like, maybe because I'm just so unfamiliar with most of them. I mean, I mentioned one rapper, which is, you know, the one being from my state, but just wait and see about that. And I don't know, maybe
come out with like the freestyles and stuff like that, we'll at least have something, yeah. I guess, more tangible to judge them on.
And then I wonder how they gonna do that shit. Considering, well, how they gonna do with the quarantine and shit? Damn, this is just wrecking my head.
Yeah, that's I guess we'll find out when we find out. Who knows? They'll all be in on like a Zoom call, and everyone's got like backgrounds with like champagne, chains, and big booty hoes. Just, it is what it is. But yeah. Until that happens, we are now done with the news topics, and we have one last thing to discuss here, and that is the new album releases for the week of August 28th, 2020. Starting at the top, we have a new EP from Pig Destroyer called The Octagonal Stairway. And yes, that is the name of that Adult Swim single they put out in 2013. Apparently that's finally making its way to a physical release.
Oh, damn, that long?
Along with Cameraman, the song that they put out on 2018, I believe. But, yeah, interesting. Surprised it took that long for that to see a physical release. Anyway, moving on, we have the newest album from Ulver with Flowers of Evil. The aforementioned John Petrucci solo album, Terminal Velocity. A new project from Seether called CV Passem Parabellum. I probably pronounced that horribly. There's a new Power Man 5000 album, The Noble Rot, for the two of you that still care. Of course, probably biggest of all these being the release of Metallica's latest live project, SNM2, finally making its way to home media for all you Metallica fans out there. There's, of course, a new project from West Side Gun called Who Made the Sunshine? More Griselda, it's never ending! There's a new Disclosure album, Energy. And for the five of you that still care, there's a new Katy Perry album called Smile.
Place your bets for chart data.
There's no way it hits number one. I will bet any amount of money against that. But now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internets?
Right now, still in the Discord or of Azure, I'll be sharing my SNM2 box set when it comes. It's in Roots. I repeat, it's in Roots. And yeah, find me in Discord and other Discord channels like the Rock Discord or the R-iPod Discord. iPod subreddit, I mean. Yeah, I'm just hiding inside watching sports because the clown show is in my city and I hate it.
Damn. Don't worry, it'll be over soon enough. Actually, no, it won't be over. The nightmares are forever. But anyway, Mark, what about you?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at MattTavinMedia, on Instagram, where I just do a lot of weird visual shit because, I don't know, I do weird visual works and just add music to it because, I don't know, I just do that. Of course, I'm also on Discord, where you can find me on, of course, the regular Surreal Resolution Discord. Find me on the Baja Gang Discord, and on this one called the Wolfstein Discord, because I've been doing that a lot. And of course on my site, the Mind of Hybrid One at highwonderworks.com, where we review the first two Full Metal Panic anime. Because I don't know, one friend got me hooked on that. And also, I gotta say, I want to give a shout out to Mr. Bodie James for retweeting my review of the Versace tape, which...
Yeah!
Oh, yes.
Excellent.
Props to you and Jay Versace and all Griselda.
Yeet. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, at Rob Barracuda. On the Discords, I'm just known as Barracuda. You know, I'm still in the Surreal Resolution Discord, and not any other ones that I'm sure anyone would give a shit about here, but, you know, you'll find me there, of course, shitposting. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video highlights usually go up by the weekend, so, you know, go to the YouTube channel, subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever anything goes up there. Hopefully, finally, I can get back to posting some stuff there now that I have a computer that can actually, you know, edit things at a not-snail's pace. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SuroRezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, SuroResolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast, O&A, all that spicy stuff. As always, again, our own Discord for all those fun shenanigans. And shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, thank you for listening this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with probably a relatively shorter show. Definitely shorter show. At least a little more compact, say for, you know, the bitching about the VMAs.
That time again.
Yeah, it's going to be good old fun. So, yeah, until next time. What's the matter, Mrs. Shapiro? You got some sand in your vagina?
La do do. Yeah, yeah, don't do that. Follow the strong bad rule. Don't do it.
Also, never cite rap lyrics again. You sound like just like every white person.